Hi everyone, I'm Christine, and I'm speaking today, and the name of the message is Staying Faithful. Okay, here he comes. Right. Okay, it's so cool today, everybody. I got my clock with me, the alarm's on. We're good. See, I'm a forerunner. Okay, I was praying about the message this week, and I just kept getting the same scripture from the Lord over and over and over. So I thought, well, obviously he thinks I'm pretty stupid because he has to keep repeating the same scripture to me. So there's obviously something there that he really, really wants to say. So I looked at it, and I think I've found an interpretation that I hope you can live with. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, I read this scripture, and I've had the great privilege that I lived in a town called Toowoomba in Queensland, Australia. Toowoomba is the Aboriginal meaning of the word Toowoomba is the black swamp, and Toowoomba sits on the edge of the outback, and we lived there. And it sits right on the edge of all this huge farming area. So my father at a very young age decided that we needed to develop a good work ethic. So before we could go on holidays every year, he would take us out to one of the farms and just dump us. And we would have to work. And so I had the great privilege of learning about plowing. And one of the things about plowing is that it requires staying focused, being persistent, and being careful. Focused, persistent, and careful. Because while you're plowing, if you suddenly think, you know, this is just too much for me, it's too hot, it's too long, it's too hard, your hands are beginning to blister, you're beginning to sweat, and there's just this temptation of the flesh, you want to stop, you want to give up, you're not used to doing this, and if you're a minute, you look back, the first thing that happens is you'll suddenly go out of your path, and then the worst thing happens of all, the farmer will shout at you, go back and do it again. And many times we had to go work for my Uncle Jack, who had a pineapple and banana plantation. And the first time my two brothers and I went to work for Uncle Jack, he had a tractor with a big wagon at the back, and we thought it was really cool. We got to sit on the back of the wagon and go out into the middle of the banana plantations. And then he told us to get out. He gave us all a knife, a very big, what do you call it, a machete, and he told us that all we had to do was follow the row and cut all the dead banana trees, and he'd be at the end to pick us up. And we were like, okay, no problem, great. So we start going along our row and cutting those trees, and we're loving it, you know, we got so much strength and the trees are falling down and it's just so great. But about 2 hours later, it's not so great anymore. And my brother starts to whine, and I start to whine, and it's getting hot. And the big temptation for us was, this is too much. This is too hard. And we look behind us, and we realize that we've only cut down maybe 20 trees, and there's like 50 in front of us. And it's overwhelming. But then you also realize that Uncle Jack told us He's only going to pick us up when we get to the fence at the end of the plantation. And so we have no choice. We can't go back. Uncle Jack's not going to be there. Uncle Jack's only going to be at the end when we finish. And so we had to gather everything that was in us and continue straight on down the row, cutting the trees. And we were whiny and we were tired and we grumbled and we mumbled. But we got to the end of the row, and there was Uncle Jack with his big hat, sitting there having a snooze, waiting for us, and said, "What took you so long?" And he gave us all cold water and a fresh lemonade and pineapple, and it was fantastic. And we couldn't remember how bad we'd felt back in the middle of the field. In Philippians 3, Paul, he was saying to the brethren, Philippians 3:13-14, "Brethren, I count not myself to be able to fully understand everything. I understand some stuff, but maybe not all of it. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it all yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and searching forth unto those things that are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We're all plowing our own fields. God's given every single one of us our own personal plow. None of us are like the other. We are all totally unique in the calling that God's given us. The most important thing to remember is, if we look back, we will faint. We will grow fearful. We'll begin to doubt ourselves. We'll begin to doubt that word that God gave us. Just like Lot's wife, she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. The amazing thing about the Bible when it talks about Lot's wife, she doesn't even get a name. She remains Lot's wife. I don't want to remain nameless to my God. I want to be known as a good and faithful servant. Amen? I want to get down there and plow my row or cut my banana trees or pull my onions, whatever it is I have to do. You know, when I told my friends at school that before I could go on holidays, I had to go pick onions, pull onions. And they said, "Oh, that's so cool. Can we go with you?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. It's really hard." "No, we really want to do it." And I had this best friend, Gay Lambert. She was the most gorgeous girl in the class, long black ponytail, and she always looked perfect, nails perfect. And I kept telling her, "I don't think it's a good idea." But she wanted to do it. So sure enough, my dad took us out to one of these farms. The farmer put us on his wagon and dumped us in the middle of the field, threw us a couple of hats and some water, and said, "See you in 2 hours." And there I was with my best friend Gay and a couple of other friends, and I began to teach them how to pull onions. You see, if you don't get right down, right at the top of the onion and pull it, then it just snaps off and you got to dig it out with your hands. Really messes with the nails. Gay was not happy. She was not happy. Her nails were ruined. They started to break off. My other friends started to say to me, "You got to be crazy to do this. This is what you do to make money? This is crazy." But you see, I'd been doing it for so long. It was a way of life with me. It was absolutely, I knew that I would not get my reward until I got to the end of the field. You know what, dear friends? There are so many Christians that get halfway down the row and they want to give up. They want to say it's too hard. It's too difficult. I can't do it. And you're right. You can't do it. You can't, without Him, do anything. You need Him more than you realize. He is your all in all. He is the beginning and the end. He is the lifter of your head. He is the one that will help you get to the end of the row. Amen? Well, you're really lucky. You only got 3 pages. We're good, and it's all handwritten. A lot of times when you're plowing your field, your machete grows blunt, and then you have to take time out to sharpen it. Which means we as Christians have to take time out sometimes. We just gotta take time out. I spent the last year taking time out. Just waiting on God, waiting to hear His voice. It was really hard. It seemed really simple in the beginning, but it turned out to be really hard. But now I realize that when I found out that taking time out meant resting in Him, it didn't become hard anymore. I often think about another man in the Bible who knew all about plowing, and that was Elisha. In the first book of Kings, chapter 19:19, we see how Elijah was told by God that there's a certain fellow that's going to take over your ministry, and his name is Elisha, and you will find him. So he went in 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you." And he said unto him, "Go back, for what have I done to you?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave them unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went with Elijah and ministered unto him. Now they say that Elisha was probably a young boy, maybe 16 or 17 years old in the field when this happened. And he suddenly realized, he knew who Elisha was. He had heard about Elisha. He was this incredible prophet who came and threw his mantle over him. And Elisha got it from the very beginning. He took everything that represented his past life, his oxen and his plow, and he sacrificed it unto the Lord, and he served his family and everyone he knew, and he departed from them. He put it all behind him, and he walked in to that new calling that had come upon him by the mantle being thrown upon him. Many times when God tells us something, we get it, we get excited, we get so thrilled about what God's saying to us. But when we hit those rocks and things become really messy and we begin to blister and sweat, we get tempted to turn back and think, maybe I should go back and get my old job. Maybe I should go back there and do that. Or maybe you need to take the wisdom of youth and put it all behind you and go forward. It was no accident that God chose Elisha to step into the anointing of Elijah. He was a man who knew the importance of putting everything behind him. He was a guy that understood the word commitment. We learn about his character more in 2 Kings chapter 2. And I really get to like Elisha now. He's got character. He's got spirit. He's got staying power. Chapter 2, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elisha went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, and the Lord will send me to Bethel. And Elisha said to him, as the Lord lives, and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. So they both went to Bethel. Let's take a look at it again. Verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord shall send me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives, as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And they both went to Jericho. We have it again. Verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, what did he say? As the Lord lives, and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And they went on together to the Jordan. I'm showing you pure grit, sheer grit here. This is a young man that has been with Elisha now for a number of years, and he's learned at his feet. And one thing he's discovered, you don't give up easily. You stick with someone. And he saw the anointing of God on Elisha, and he stuck with him. And three times he was told, stay here. And three times he said, oh no, as my soul lives, I'm going with you. What a contrast to Peter, who had spent 3 years with Jesus, seeing probably even greater miracles than Elisha had seen. The feeding of the thousands, the deaf, the dumb, the lame. And when they asked him, aren't you one of them? He said three times, I don't know him. It's all part of who we are. It's all part of learning how to plow properly. How to start. When you hear that call of God, and you know that you know that you know that it's God, then don't look back. Be like Elisha. As I live, as I liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave you. This should be our personal cry to the Lord Jesus. As my soul liveth, I'll not leave you. I'll finish plowing my field. Because I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Elisha, he was focused. He was faithful. He was persistent. I want to be that. Faithful, focused, persistent. And all of us have that potential within us to be like that. The other thing I like about Elisha was that he waited and waited until his opportunity came to ask something from Elijah. Elisha watched this young man follow him, serve him, be at his side. And when it was time for Elisha to be taken, this is what happened. Verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit fall upon thee. And Elisha said, whoa, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from me, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, rent them into pieces, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He had seen the glory and the power of God. And what did he do? One more time, he stepped into that double portion of anointing. He took off everything that was of the past, and he put on the new, and he stepped in to that new anointing of God. There comes a time in our lives when God requires of us, as we've been walking with him for a long time, to take a look. Where are you? Where are you right now? Are you ready to take off everything that you have done up until now and to take on the new mantle? Is God calling some of you, one of you, a few of you, to do something new with your lives? Then you are blessed. But first, put off those things that are old and move into the new. Because I belong to this bowling league, for a couple of our team games in different parts of the country, I couldn't come because Annette was so sick. And so I had to let my other team members play without me. And they did very poorly. In fact, now we are in the number one place at the bottom. That was, you know, that was tough. But on Friday, I got to go with my team to Petah Tikva. And already in the car, they were a bunch of losers. They were already like, we're going to be playing the best team in the league. There's no way we're going to take any points. This is so humiliating. I don't even know why we're doing this to ourselves. I don't even know why we're bothering. And I'm like, what? I got up at 7 o'clock to do this, you guys. So we get to Petah Tikva, and we see the other team. And I'm like, whoa. They're like the best players in Israel. And, you know, I felt a little flurry of fear. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to step into who I am. I know I can bowl. I know I can get strikes. I know I can know how to hold a bowling ball. This can't be so bad. So I let my teammates play the first game because I wanted to watch how the other team played. And every single one of my team bowled so bad that I was actually cheering the other team by the end of that first game. It was just terrible. And then I took them aside, and I'd been, you know, waiting on God for the word. So this word was stirring on me about Elisha. And I said, listen, guys, they're nothing special. They're flesh and blood. But you, look at the years you have behind you. You all know how to bowl. What's wrong with you? Put all those miserable, lost, horrible games behind you and step out there and just go for it. What have you got to lose? And then one of them said, "That's an excellent idea. You be the first player." Well, you see, that's the difference, isn't it? It's one thing to say it. It's a whole new thing to do it. But I got up there. I mean, now, both teams were watching me. And the other team already thought, it's in the bag. And I got up there, and the first ball I threw was a strike. The second was a spare. The next was a strike. And all of a sudden, their guy got up to play next to me. He's the best one. He's like, 230 average. And, and he gets up there. And because I've already done this outstanding thing, he lost his confidence. He forgot who he was. And he threw a gutter ball. And the morale of the team just broke. And we slaughtered them in that game. My other teammates, one of them has this infection in her leg, Davida, and she's dragging her leg like this. And she gets up there with the ball, and Shimon's going, "I can't watch this." And she gets up there, and she did 7 strikes in a row and finished on 191. If that's not a double portion, what could it be? It was amazing. And that team was like in disarray. They didn't know what was going on. It was fantastic. We didn't win all 5 games. We didn't win the total. We didn't win the war. We won the battle. Because we were persistent, we were focused, and we were fearless. That's what we as children of God should be like when we've been given a commission. Amen? Focused, fearless. Just go out there. Be who you have been born to be. Fearfully and wonderfully made to glorify the Master. All of you uniquely created to glorify Him. Whenever I think about, I can't do this, it's too much, I can't finish this, I take a little trip in my car and I go over near the Prime Minister's house. And I see the tent of Gilad Shalit's parents. Gilad Shalit is the Israeli soldier who at the age of 19 was captured by Hamas terrorists, who has been sitting in Gaza almost 5 years. His parents have set up a tent right outside the Prime Minister's office, and they're there every day. And they're not going to move until they get their son back. If you have not gone there, you need to go there. And you need to see the eyes of his mother, a woman totally broken and full of despair. A woman that has lost all hope in words and man and politics. A woman whose heart is broken into shreds. But you know what? She gets up every morning and she dresses and she goes to that tent because she's not doing it for herself anymore. She's doing it for her son. If any of you feel like your circumstance is absolutely hopelessly out of control, drive over to the Prime Minister's house. Sit with them. When I have people come to visit me here, they say, "We want you to show us around Jerusalem, show us some things." And the first place I take them is to the tent of Gilad Shalit's parents. And I said, "This couple is the core and the story of something about Israel that is not being told. It's resilience. It's courage. It's persistence. It's focus. It's everything that plowing is all about. It's about getting to the end of the field so you can have your cold cup of water with Uncle Jack. Amen? If you're wondering, why am I here right now? And I want you to remember one thing. There are many scriptures in the Bible that speak about how God will use Gentiles to bless Israel. If you think I am achieving nothing and doing nothing with my life, I am spinning my wheels in the mud, then you know what? You've lucked out. Because you can still be a partaker of what the Word of God says about God bringing Gentiles into the land to be a testimony of God's goodness to Israel. If you have totally lost all sense of purpose in your life, then go back and look at a couple of these promises. Can I read one of them to you? We're getting close. It's going to go beep, beep soon. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will beckon to the Gentiles. Isaiah 49, 22. I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. Isaiah 60, verse 10. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. God is going to use you despite yourself in this country. He is going to use you to be a blessing to this people. So are you going to take it on? Can you be in the field? Can you finish your row? Because that's what you're being called to do. You're being called to finish your row. Because Uncle Jack is at the end waiting for you. So what's your dream? Do you have the character, the fortitude, the persistence, the courage to see that dream or that vision come to pass? If you don't, he says, ask and I will give. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. He is your answer. The one who'll give you that strength. How fruitful do you want to be in your life? How about becoming the plow in the hands of the Father? That's the most fruitful you can become. Cling to Christ and beg Him to transform you into who He meant you to be. Humble yourself. Submit yourself to His will and see what He wants to make you. Remember, you have been created for eternity. You are just pilgrims passing through, and your purpose is to leave sweet incense as you go. Life is not just about what happens in this world. You are being prepared by God for eternity. Character, which is made up of persistence, courage, focus, that's the stuff that eternity is full of. Don't go empty-handed into eternity. Keep your hands on the plow. Finish the job you've been given. Don't look back. Let Him mold you. Let Him shape you into His likeness. No matter what trials you have to endure, No matter how many rocks you hit, whatever your lot in life is at this point, it will be well with your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Why don't we stand up? There's something wonderful about just thinking about what your call is, what your vision is, what your dream is, what your purpose is. Why are you here right now? Think about it just for a minute. Lord, you see everyone that's here right now, Father. You know exactly where they are. You know exactly what's going on in their lives. And I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to give them the strength of character and the will to put their hands to the plow, to look forward, to be fearless, to be persistent, to be courageous, and to continue on believing you and trusting you that good work that you have begun in them, you are going to complete. That this is all a journey, a preparation for eternity. And Lord, for those who are weak at this moment, Father, I ask you, strengthen them. Just as you used Elisha to strengthen Elijah, as I live and as my soul lives, I will go with you. Lord, may that be our battle cry to you. As we live and as our soul lives, we will go with you. Amen.
I don't think there's any need for a closing. I think that was a fabulous closing. So be dismissed, be blessed, go find your row and plow it. Amen.